Hosea 8 and verse 1. Put the trumpet to your lips. An eagle is over the house of the Lord, because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. Israel cries out to me, "Our God, we acknowledge you." But Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. They set up kings without my consent. They choose princes without my approval. With their silver and gold, they make idols for themselves to their own destruction. Throw out your calf idol, Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of purity? They are from Israel. This calf, a metal worker, has made it. It is not God. It will be broken in pieces, that calf of Samaria. They sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no head. It will produce no flower. Were it to yield grain, foreigners would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now she's among the nations like something no one wants. For they have gone to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has sold herself to lovers. Although they've sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them together. They will begin to waste away under the oppression of the mighty king. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they regarded them as something foreign. Though they offer sacrifices as gifts to me, and though they eat the meat, the Lord is not pleased with them. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has fortified many towns. But I will send fire on their cities that will consume their fortresses. Do not rejoice, Israel. Do not be jubilant like the other nations. For you have been unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor. Threshing floors and wine presses will not feed the people. The new wine will fail them. They will not remain in the Lord's land. Ephraim will return to Egypt and eat unclean food in Assyria. They will not pour out wine offerings to the Lord, nor will their sacrifices please him. Such sacrifices will be to them like the bread of mourners. All who eat them will be unclean. This food will be for themselves. It will not come into the temple of the Lord. What will you do on the day of your appointed festivals, on the feast days of the Lord? Even if they escape from destruction, Egypt will gather them, and Memphis will bury them. Their treasures of silver will be taken over by briars, and thorns will overrun their tents. The days of punishment are coming. The days of reckoning are at hand. Let Israel know this. Because your sins are so many, and your hostility so great, the prophet is considered a fool, the inspired person a maniac. The prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim. Yet snares await him on all his paths, and hostility is in the house of his God. They have sunk deep into corruption, as in the days of Gibeah. God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. I guess not many of us have been in the situation where an enemy warplane is heading our way. It would be terrifying, wouldn't it? You know that you're at war and an enemy is approaching in the sky and they're coming your way. some of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. That's a reality, isn't it? Attack from the skies. On this Remembrance Day, we think back, don't we, to the World Wars particularly, and what took place then, and the frequent sight in the skies of the UK of enemy warplanes heading this way. Well, in Hosea 8, it's not a warplane, but an eagle in verse 1. But the idea is the same. Put a trumpet to your lips, we hear. Well, that's like an air raid warning. Danger is coming. Trouble is coming. The enemy is coming. An eagle is over the house of the Lord. Invasion was coming. Why? Second half of verse 1, because the people have broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. In Hosea, we've heard God warning his people because they've failed to keep the covenant. They've not loved him as they were called to love him. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen, even though they've been warned, their hearts have been unrepentant. They've had words of repentance, but lives which were otherwise. And so there's a repeated phrase in our passage today. It's found in chapter 8, verse 13, and chapter 9, verse 9. Look at those words. Now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. We're going to see something this evening of the awfulness of sin. The awfulness of God's punishment for sin. Firstly, we see this in chapter 8 particularly. Unfaithfulness will be exposed by God eventually. Unfaithfulness. Now, there were signs of faith. In fact, there were words of faith. Look at verse 2. Israel cries out to me, our God, we acknowledge you. And in verse 11, we can see they've built many altars for sin offerings. And in verse 13, we can see that they're bringing those sacrifices as gifts to the Lord. There are signs of faith. There's a surface veneer of faith. But actually, in everyday life, practically speaking, they're living as if they've forgotten God. So verse 4, they've appointed kings without God's consent. Verse 5 and 6 in chapter 8, there's idolatry. They've made idols out of silver and gold, even an idol in the shape of a calf. And they should have known better. Verse 7, they've made alliances with other nations, nations that the Lord hasn't told them to make alliances with. And look at the picture language, verse 7. They sow the wind. They think they're doing something good, but look what's going to come back their way. They've sowed the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Disaster. Havoc is going to come their way. Because that alliance with Assyria would lead to Assyria taking them over. Swallowing them up, verse 8. Verse 12, they've disregarded my law, says God. I wrote for them the many things of my law, but they've regarded them as something foreign. Not for them, for another people. We were thinking this morning, weren't we, about the preciousness of God's words to us. God's people have disregarded his words. Indeed, verse 14, they're living as if they have forgotten their Maker. On the surface, God's people sounded like they were faithful. But in reality, in everyday life, in their actions, in the things they were doing, the things they weren't doing, they were living unfaithful lives. And so verse 13, now he will remember their wickedness and punish their sins. Unfaithfulness will be exposed by God eventually. And as we look at the people in Hosea's day, as we often have to do with the Bible, we need to hold the mirror up to ourselves, don't we? The people then looked faithful, would say they were faithful, at times sounded faithful, but their lives said otherwise. They were living life without God, without his word, trusting in other things. How about us? We're here at a church on a Sunday evening. We look faithful. We've sounded faithful. We've sung a song together of what Jesus is like. What about our lives this week? Things we do or don't do, the way we do them. Will we look like a follower of Jesus this week? Or will we look more like an atheist this week? Or someone who's an idolater, worshipping something else, not Jesus? Will we pick up our Bibles this week? Will we long to read and feed and follow? Or will we follow our heart's desires and our own minds and live our own way? Unfaithfulness will be exposed by God eventually. And secondly, God will punish with covenant curses replacing covenant blessings. The land, the promised land, was supposed to be a land flowing with milk and honey. But God warns Israel here it would become a place that's unproductive. Chapter 9, verse 1, do not rejoice, Israel. Do not be jubilant like the other nations, for you have been unfaithful to your God. You love the wages of a prostitute at every threshing floor, the things an idol might give to you, your worship elsewhere. So, verse 2, threshing floors and wine presses will not feed the people. The new wine will fail them. Deuteronomy, God warned his people, if you keep the covenant, if you stick with me, if you listen to me, if you live my way, I will bless you. If you disregard the covenant, if you turn from me, if you're unfaithful to me, I will curse you. That would be seen in the land, in the crops of the land. And the warning here, the crops of the land will not feed the people anymore. And indeed, verse 3, the people themselves would be exiled. They'll leave the land. So verse 3, they'll not remain in the Lord's land. Ephraim will return to Egypt and eat unclean food in Assyria. If you've got your map in front of you, that phrase might be confusing. Assyria was more to the north. Egypt is down to the south. Where would the people be? Well, Egypt, through these passages, is being called to mind as a reminder of where God's people had come from. Remember, they'd been called out of exile in Egypt. Out of slavery in Egypt. That's where they'd come from before they got to the promised land. And God is saying here, look, it's all going to go in reverse. It's as if you're going to go back to Egypt. Not literally, but metaphorically. Actually, they'd be taken over by Assyria towards the north and be exiled there. But life in Egypt, if you like, was returning. Life as slaves. Life out of the land. This is awful. A reversing of what God had done for his people when he'd rescued them, when he'd brought them out of Egypt into the promised land. Because they'd rejected him, forgotten him, ignored him. The reverse would take place. And so there'd be separation from being able to worship God properly in verses 4 and 5. And so Hosea could ask, what will you do on the day of your appointed festivals? on the feast days of the Lord? Well, you won't be able to worship as you should. You'll be in exile. And as the people are taken from the land, so the land will become overgrown. Briars and thorns will grow over their tents, their silver, where there'd been life and living before. A wasteland would appear. And this is all deserved. Verse 7. Because your sins are so many. It's not one thing you've done wrong. It's many. Because your sins are so many and your hostility so great. The prophet is considered a fool, the inspired person a maniac. They're not listening to God's warnings. They're writing off God's prophets. You know, the prophet, along with my God, they're the watchmen over Ephraim. They're the ones who were to call out, the enemy is coming. But they're not being listened to. Snares await him on all his paths, and hostility is in the house of his God. They've sunk deep into corruption, as in the days of Gibeah. And then our repeated refrain, God will remember their wickedness and punish them for their sins. God's blessing is turned to God's cursing, just as he warned. What about us? Our sins, our many sins before the Lord that he sees and knows. What will he do? Under the old covenant, this was the consequence of covenant unfaithfulness. Blessing turned to cursing. Under the new covenant, praise God, somebody would come and take that curse for us. The Lord Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, we read, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. We deserve God's judgment. We deserve his curse. But through Christ, we can know his blessing, not because we've deserved it, not because we've earned it, but because of his mercy towards us. Hebrews 4 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's the offer for us today. We don't need to face God's curse, God's judgment. Instead, we can face God's blessing through Jesus. It's what he offers to us today, but not forever. We need to receive his offer today before it's too late. One day it will be too late when the Lord Jesus returns, not as Savior, but as Judge. Our sins will either be paid for by him or by us. But today, a day of opportunity, a day when we can turn to the Saviour, a day when we can say, our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.